There's not one thing happening in the world today that Jesus hasn't addressed and given us power and authority over. All of the issues we find in culture, Jesus gave us the power to influence. The problem is, the church has become more of a subculture than a counterculture because we have no understanding of the kingdom. In this series, Training for Reigning, we're going to look in depth at the gift that we've been given through the finished work of the cross to reign over life instead of life reigning over us.
It's just the state of the art.
All right, come on, Calvary Church. Give it up for your pastors, Pastor Ben and Kim Daly. If you love and appreciate them, make some noise this morning. Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful for them. Just want to take just a moment before I share the word today and express on behalf of my wife, Tina, and I, the gratitude we have for your pastors to be honored to be. I'm so honored to be here on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Three words come to mind when I think of Pastors Ben and Kim. It is faithfulness, it is friendship, and it is freedom. And a lot of people don't realize that pastors and leaders go through difficult seasons. We go through highs and lows, we go through valleys, we go through challenges and difficulties. And often we have to keep leading while we're bleeding. I have the privilege of calling Pastor Ben Daly and Kim both their friends to our family. I've watched them lead while they bleed. They are extraordinarily faithful. And they are authentic and they are transparent and they are real. One of the things I get to hear when I talk to Pastor Ben is how much he loves this church and how much they love you. And I want to tell you that because they brag about you behind your back. They love you. They love you. The second thing is friendship. He's such a good friend. You know, Pastor Ben, for many years in ministry, I told Tina, we talked about this all the time. I said, I had better friends before I went into ministry. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, I had closer friends, dearer friends. Then you get into ministry, and especially when you don't understand the gospel, everything's striving, everything's comparison, everything's competition. You don't know who you can trust. You don't know who you can talk to, so you protect yourself, you know. So I've been in ministry 18 years, and I've been saying for most of those years, I had better friends before I went into ministry. I haven't said that in a long time. Ben Daly, you are the best friend I've ever had. And listen to me, my family and my team, my ministry team, they always know when I've been talking to your pastor. I'll come out of my office, they'll be like, how's Pastor Ben doing? I said, well, how'd you know I was talking to Pastor Ben? Because that's the only time you laugh that hard. We laugh, but he's not just a friend I can laugh with. He's a friend I can cry with. I'm so thankful for his friendship. We've played catchphrase together with their families and gotten in arguments. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's just great. We love them so much. But the last thing is freedom. And I'm standing in front of you today because 3 years ago, I reached out to a pastor I'd never met because I saw him ordering coffee at Starbucks. The coolest way I've ever seen anyone order coffee. Have you seen the video? It keeps resurfacing, you know, and I thought, who is this guy? I've got to talk to this guy. I've got to reach out to this guy. And I reached out and something incredible happened. He reached back out. And I thought when it happened, this got to be like an assistant or someone that he's working with that reached out on his behalf. It wasn't. It was him. And he kept calling and calling. And he began to share the gospel with me. And Pastor Ben, when you would share the gospel with me, I got to be honest with you. At first, I wasn't sure. I was like, could this be real? Then I would go home and talk to my wife and say, honey, I talked to this preacher today. And he's telling me this story. She's like, can that be right? And then we would sit down with the Bible. And we said, how long has that been in there? It transformed my family. The way I relate to my kids, the way my wife and I relate to each other. The way we do ministry, today because of the faithfulness of Pastors Ben and Kim Daly. Did you know that there's a church in Metro Atlanta, North Metro Atlanta, Duluth, the church I pastor, Life Church International? It's a New Covenant church. It wasn't 3 years ago. There's a church in Metro Atlanta. We just got done writing our first New Covenant gospel album. Lives are being transformed. My kids are growing up out of legalism and in the message of the gospel and the finished work of Jesus. It's absolutely transformed our lives and our ministry. And I just want to say in front of all of you, thank you. Thank you, Ben, Kim, God, thank you. I don't know if we'd still be doing this had it not been for the gospel. We love you. Can you give them one more hand, please? Let them know you appreciate them. Training for Reigning. You know, I'm excited and honored to be invited to be a part of this series. And one of the things I've discovered about Training for Reigning is the importance of cultivating a renewed mind. You know, when we're born again, our spirits are made brand new. We are complete and whole in Jesus. The ongoing journey is learning how to renew our minds so that we line our thoughts up with the reality of what's happened in our spirit. And this is the ongoing process in our lives. So I want to talk to you about this concept of renewing your mind. Look with me at Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. I had recently written a book called Seven Deadly Thoughts, and I tackle one of those thoughts that we're going to tackle together today in this concept of training for reigning. And as you're turning your Bibles there, I want to say hello to my incredible, beautiful, gorgeous, pregnant with my sixth child wife, Tina. Love you, honey. Would you just let her know that you appreciate her because she preached for me this morning? Well, I got to be with you. Genesis chapter 18. And then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "There in the tent." He said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's living in every believer that's watching at home and every believer that's in this room. Thank you for the anointing that teaches us. Thank you for the anointing that equips us. And Father, today I pray that not only would the lost be found, but let the found be free. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. We live in a culture that has become enamored with this concept of limiting beliefs. In fact, it's everywhere on social media. It's in Clubhouse, the new Clubhouse app. Every time I jump in a room, I hear somebody talking about limiting ideas or limiting beliefs. So it's become a very popular conversation in our culture. We understand that the quality of our thought life is directly connected to the quality of life we give ourselves permission to live. But I think a lot of people would be surprised to discover that this is not a new concept. As a matter of fact, the Bible repeatedly, over and over again, talks to us about the importance of a renewed mind. And we see this playing out in Abraham and Sarah's life. But the Apostle Paul, while teaching the Corinthian church, he talks about the importance of guarding our thoughts. But he doesn't call it limiting beliefs. He refers to it as a stronghold. In fact, look at what he says. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought," everybody say every thought, "every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Perhaps the simplest definition of a stronghold is this: believing that a lie is true. The moment I believe that a lie is true in my life, a limiting belief or a stronghold has been established. And probably one of the trickiest things about limiting beliefs is this, or deadly thoughts, I begin to build my life around that lie. And this is probably one of the greatest misconceptions about a deadly thought, is we think that if a stronghold was present in my life, it would be obvious. But the truth is, it's not always obvious. It happens very slowly, very subtly. And we just start building our life around this idea and around this lie. It's usually not until we're looking around our life, picking up the pieces of a broken relationship or friendship or situation where we're saying something's off, something's wrong. And we see it playing out in Abraham and Sarah's life in real time in Genesis 18. The Bible says at the tender age of 99, God comes and pays Abraham a visit and makes him a promise. He said, hey, by this time next year, you're going to be holding the child. You're going to be holding the, everyone say holding the promise. You're going to be holding the promise in your arms by this time next year. But when Sarah heard the word of the Lord, the Bible says she laughed to herself. She laughed. Because at some point in the journey, she had bought the lie. One of the deadliest of the seven deadly thoughts is the lie that it's too late. At some point, she had begun to believe that she was too old. At some point, she started to believe she had just missed it. She had missed her moment. She had missed her opportunity. And you know what I've discovered about the promises of God? I've discovered that waiting time is vulnerable time. It's not when you receive the promise and God spoke to you about your life or your marriage or your ministry or your future. That's an exciting moment. That's a mountaintop moment. Man, faith is running high in that moment. No, that's not the issue. The problem happens usually between the moment I receive the promise and the process of waiting for the promise. Somewhere in between, I find my heart becomes very vulnerable. Is there anybody in the room that knows what I'm talking about? It's that waiting time that my heart is open and vulnerable, and I start to wonder, has God forgotten about me? Have you ever wondered yourself, God, have you forgotten about me? What about the word I received at the front of the church when someone prayed for me, or the word that someone texted me that God told me to speak to? God, did you remember the word? Because here's what the enemy does. In waiting times, he weaponizes facts to attack your faith. He'll take everything you do see to try to rob you of everything you don't see yet. And suddenly what I don't see seems to hold more sway over my heart than what I heard God say. And Sarah's wrestling with this situation of believing that it's too late. And when you buy the lie that it's too late, you begin to believe your best days are behind you. We start reminiscing about the good old days because the best days seem to be behind me. I've missed my moment. I am too old. My time has passed. I'm no longer relevant. And what the enemy did to Sarah is the same thing he tries to do to us today. He tries to get us so focused on what's not here that we forget about what God said. And so when God shows up with the word, this stronghold, this limiting belief had been so established in her mind, watch this, that when the Lord says, it's time for the promise, she laughs and says, yeah, right. And we oftentimes live our life this way. We would never say it out loud, but the truth is we begin to question God's capability and abilities. And we start living our life. And here's the dangerous part. Here's the tragic part. If we don't confront the thought, then we run the risk of the treasure that God put inside of us being buried treasure. And we never live out of this sense of purpose, and we never live out of this sense of calling, because when I start believing that it's too late, I stop believing that all things are possible. We stop preparing ourselves for the promise of God because we bought this lie that says you've missed it. The season has passed. Why bother trying? It's too late for a great marriage, so why bother trying? It's too late to have a good relationship with my children, so why bother even trying? It's too late to answer God's call in my life. It's too late to make an impact. It's too late to step into my purpose or my God-given destiny. It's too late to get healthy again, so why bother even trying? So we stop preparing ourselves for the promises of God. And so God is a good, how many know God's a good father? He's such a good father that he knew Sarah was wrestling with some doubt and wrestling with these limiting beliefs. And so he comes to find Sarah. Now, I don't know who in this room feels like it's too late, and I don't know what you're wrestling with, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but can I tell you today that truth still sets people free? And the Lord knew that the one thing Sarah needed was an injection of truth. And so he approaches Sarah and he asks her a question. Now, can I tell you something? You know what I found out in my walk with Jesus? When Jesus asks me a question, he's never looking for an answer. Jesus never once came to Travis Hall to ask for advice. When Jesus asks you a question, it's to help you find the answer. And so I don't know what you're waiting on, and I don't know what kind of promises you've been petitioning God for, and I don't know what has been discouraging you, but I would like to present you with the same exact question that the Lord presented to Sarah. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Because the moment Sarah heard the question, she had an awakening moment because she realized that she had been building her life based upon her ability rather than God's ability, based upon what she had rather than what God had. Can I tell somebody this morning that it was never about your ability, it was never about your strength, it was never about your possessions, it was never about your provision, it was about God's promise, and he's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. If God made the promise, God will keep the promise, and he'll do it in a way that I can't take credit for and you can't take credit for. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not too late. Because the promises of God are not based on your ability to produce. They're based on God's ability to provide. And so watch this. Before the Lord manifested the miracle, he had to address the mind. So when he approaches the tent, he doesn't say, hey, Abraham, how's business? How's life? He said, Abraham, where is Sarah? I came for my daughter because it is time to manifest the miracle. Now, let me tell you something. When God begins to deal with your thought life, you might think it sounds exciting. But the truth is, it's extraordinarily frustrating because you've spent your life building your life around these lies. And so they don't just come, you know, it's a process. And sometimes you'll say, God, can we just put this off? It's sort of frustrating. Can I tell y'all something? Before I discovered the gospel, I thought I knew ministry. Then I discovered the gospel, and suddenly I'm like, do I even know what I'm doing anymore? Do I even know how to preach anymore? And I'm like, God, can you just leave me alone for a minute? Because it's kind of unsettling. And I need to tell somebody today, God, can't leave you alone. Do you know why? For the same reason that he said to Abraham and Sarah, by this time next year, you will be holding the promise in your hands. By this time next year, you won't recognize your marriage. By this time next year, you won't recognize your family. By this time next year, you won't recognize your ministry. By this time next year, you won't recognize your kids and their relationship with Jesus. If you believe it and receive it, give him some praise this morning. One of the things that begins to happen when we get this surge of understanding, when God begins to address strongholds, is this. Suddenly, when strongholds come down, faith starts to come up. It's the strangest thing. You wake up at 3:00 in the morning, suddenly invigorated with courage and vision and faith. You're like, where is this coming from? I've been missing this for a while. What's happening? It's because God is addressing some stuff that's been holding us back. Watch this. And suddenly what you get is the faith to try it again. That's a word. Go ahead. I need to tell somebody this morning, it's time to try it again. But Pastor, I've tried to work on my marriage before. But Pastor, I've tried to work on my life before. But Pastor, I've tried to answer the call of God before. Okay, I dare you to try it again. I don't know how to break the news to you, but Abraham and Sarah did not get pregnant with Isaac the way Mary got pregnant with Jesus. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Yeah, yeah. They had to find, I don't know how it happened, but just imagine this with me. I imagine Abraham sitting over a fire cooking his lunch when he notices in the distance Sarah's tent, and the tent flap begins to slowly and Abraham's eyes catches her eyes, and he thinks, ooh, I've seen that look before. Oh, you know what look. Ladies, you know the look. It's the look that says everything without saying anything at all. It says, come hither. In my mind, in the background, Marvin Gaye music starts to play. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I imagine Sarah. Boy, come on over here. 99-year-old Abraham. 99. Won't he do it? And Abraham. Hold on, baby. I'm coming. And when I get there, I got something for you, girl. I came by to tell somebody, it's time to try it again. I know you've tried it before, but this is your season to give birth to what God placed on the inside of you. I've tried to work on my marriage, try it again. I've tried to work on my family, try it again. I've tried to work on my purpose. I dare you to try it. Try it again. Because sometimes we're waiting on God to keep his promise, and God's waiting on us to take action based upon his promise. But I don't blame Sarah too badly, because she was a victim of what I call the after effect. Remember what she said? She said, after my Lord being old, shall I have pleasure? Everyone say after. Because the after effect will convince you that you don't have the provision you need to do what God created you to do. The after effect. You know, the first time I am a father of five, getting ready to be the father of six, and I have been there for every one of my children's births. It's miraculous. The first time, though, I didn't know anything about it. Right? The first time I complained to my wife that it's taking too long. It's a miracle I'm alive. And I'll never forget looking in the room and saying, this must not be the right space, because this is such a comfortable room. There's hardwood floors. There's a nice, comfortable bed. Yes, it's a suite. There's a rocking chair in the corner, soft lighting. I had a little jazz music playing. It was wonderful. And I thought, they're probably going to move us to the room where all of the equipment is when it's the right time. A nurse comes in and checks my office. She goes, oh, my goodness, sweetheart, it's time to push. She went out to the hallway. She said, hey, everybody, it's time to push. I'm like, oh, my God, are they going to have time to move her to the right room? All of a sudden, somebody grabbed to the ceiling and pulled out a light so bright it could illuminate Cowboy Stadium. I've never seen anything like this light. They started pulling stuff out of the walls and out of the drawers, and they pushing tables. And the bed, that was not a bed. That was a transformer. Have you ever seen these beds before? The bottom fell out. Suddenly there's things sticking out this way. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Was this here all the time? What I'm trying to tell you is that the provision she needed to give birth was already in the room. The Bible says that everything you need is in Christ, and Christ is in you. That means everything you need to give birth to what God put on the inside of you is already in the room. It's already inside of you. And when it's time to start pushing, God will manifest the provision that you need to give birth. Somebody help me give him praise this morning. Somebody shout, it's in the room. It's in the room. We keep limiting ourselves because of what we don't see, but we don't realize that God waits for the pushing moment. The pushing moment is the provision moment. the pain you've been feeling is not a pain to destroy you. Listen to me. It's a birthing pain. You see, not all pain's bad. Some pain is evidence that you're getting ready to push out something you've never seen before. There is a baby growing in my wife's womb I've never met, but I can't wait to meet the baby. I don't know what it looks like, but I know it's going to be incredible. The hard part when you start pushing is that you don't know yet what it's going to look like. But I can promise you, Calvary, it's going to be beautiful. As I was preparing for this message in the second part, sitting in the back waiting, I heard the Holy Spirit give me this nudge, and he said, tell Calvary that her labor is almost over. Tell my bride that her labor is almost over. And you've been feeling the pain, pastors, and carrying the baby and getting weary. I'll never forget one time. My wife Tina, she looked at me and she said to me, she said, I don't want to take any painkillers. I want to just do this naturally. And we got to the point where it was really time to push. And she looked at me and she said, What do you think? Can I do this? And I said, you can do this. What's in you has to come out. She said to me later, she said, what was I thinking when I said, can I do this? What's going to happen? Is the baby's going to hang out for the next 20, 30 years? What's it going to... Hey, Calvary, you are ordained to do this. And the anointing on Ben and Kim Daly is unique and rare because it is apostolic. Because the ministry happening in this house is going out around the globe. Do you realize in the middle of 18 months of COVID, new Calvary campuses are being birthed when other churches are closing? What's being born is new and it is good. What's being born in your life is new and it is good. I'll leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote of Abraham and said, Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Calvary Church, put your hand on your heart and lift one hand up in the air. And I want you to repeat this after me. God is giving birth to a new thing. Everything I need, I've already got in Jesus' name. If you receive it, put your hands together one more time. Come on, let's give God some praise.
Come on, one more time for Pastor Travis Hall. Thank you for sharing. You just bring it down real quick. We're gonna close right now. Thank you. This is a little bit of unique of a service. Thank you for allowing us to take some time to honor our pastors. I think it's important for us as a church to value that. Could you bring it down just a little bit? Thank you. We're gonna close in just a moment. I wanna share a couple thoughts with you and then give you an opportunity to participate in pastor appreciation. You can do it two ways. One, I hope all of us would write a note to our pastors. You could send an email, you can write a handwritten letter. Let them know what they mean to you and what the gospel has done in your family. Number two, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to be able to give something. That portion of scripture I gave you in 1 Timothy, where a pastor is worthy of double honor, especially the ones that preach the word, is talking specifically, categorically about money. So I want to give us, each one of these pastors that left their platforms to come here, brought a check to demonstrate the double honor. And I want to give you that opportunity as well. And as you're preparing, you can give this very unique way. We have one of those deals you can take it. This is how you know how old I am. One of those deals you take your phone out and you put your camera and it does that whole deal. I got kids that do that for me. I'm 46, so I don't know about it. There'll be a giving tab all month long where you can give. If you didn't come prepared today, that's okay. Don't stress. I want to share with you just from my heart for a moment, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Kareem. 15 years ago, I came burnt out on ministry, 8 years in youth ministry, bivocational, working in the job part, extremely successful. The ministry part was doing great. Through a series of events, God led us to leave Oregon and come here to Texas. God walked us into this church through a long story I won't say, but I was sitting in the upper tier right there, and Pastor Ben had just been called back from California. It was one of the first times he was on platform, and I watched him sit here for 10 minutes honoring Pastor George. And God spoke to my heart and said, he had no title yet. He wasn't given, we weren't privy to any title. But God said, you're going to help hold his hands up, and everything I put in his heart, you're going to help him accomplish it. I never met the man. I'm sitting there in upper tier, driving home. My wife said, hey, during service, God showed me you won't get on staff and work at this church. She said, I saw you on the platform. I've been able to journey for 15 years with this couple. I've been able to do the same thing, watch Cade and Kyla. I've been able to see them, my family, for probably the first 3 years they were here, every single night. My kids would fall asleep all over their house on staircases. We'd have to drag them home. I've been blessed to be able to be close and to be a part of it. And I've experienced the highs and lows of some of the things. And I remember some of the difficulty that they were experiencing that nobody will ever know about, nor should you. But I remember going home and I'm crying and I don't understand. I remember saying, God, it's not fair. Like, the stuff that they have to walk through is not fair. This isn't supposed to be ministry. Mind you, I've never been this close in a large church. I didn't understand a lot of things, but still, it wasn't right. There were things that were not right, that were not fair, that I kept bringing to the Lord. And I remember some of the moments where they would weep and I would be with them and I'd be able to feel the weight of some of that. And then I would carry that with me. But then there was extreme moments of joy and excitement that I got to participate in and see the wins. And you don't understand, there was a season this church went through 30% growth a year. If you have 5% growth, it's considered revival. Calvary Church, we had to get things out of this location because the parking lot was so full. Every service was jam-packed. God was doing things. And then yet, there are things that were unfair. And I remember God saying to me, son, the reason why you feel so much weight and it's unbearable to you is because I didn't call you to carry their weight. I didn't say be their hands. I'm their hands. I told you to help their hands. And that's the first time I understood that there were some burdens I wasn't supposed to carry. And I'm not graced for it, but let me tell you what I did get benefit of. I got the benefit of walking through the gospel with this couple. See, what God knew is he needed to link my life, because my purpose and my destiny, which I didn't know, was tied to a couple that showed up from California. And God gave me a word and said, all the things I put in your heart, you don't even realize it's when you submit to this couple. I hope you're hearing something, because I sat there and I got to experience the wave of the gospel and things that all of a sudden now started to make sense. And there was great highs, and Calvary went through a period of time when this message changed, that most of you weren't here, where people left by the droves. I watched this couple weep over board members and families that were like, I can't go with you on this journey. And I sat there and I listened to them say, listen, we know God's called us to this. Money, people, leaving. And God said, will you walk with me? And this couple agreed to walk. And I remember one time Pastor said this, no matter what happens, I'm not going back. If I gotta sell shoes at Neiman Marcus, I'm gonna do that. But I'm not gonna stop preaching this gospel. And church, today there's a network with over 100 pastors inside. Today we have multiple locations because a couple simply trusted God. And if I could have the host come forward to wait on us, because I'm gonna give you an opportunity to give. And here's the last thought that I'm gonna give you with this. My journey was tied. I didn't know it. I thought, God, this is me and you. He goes, yeah, it is me and you, but I'm tying it to a couple. Coming into the gospel unveiled something in my mind. It allowed me to see, yes, God did have plans for me, but the way you thought you were gonna get to it isn't the way that you're gonna get to it. You're gonna walk through some things that are unfair, which all of you gonna walk through. But right now, in this moment, the gospel has unveiled so much to me. When I've partnered with this couple, it has allowed me to grow in so many ways as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, and as an entrepreneur. The gospel unveiled something to me. My life is so fruitful right now. If I was to sit up here and tell you, it's a direct result of following the word of the Lord. Hold this couple's hands up. Be tied to them. Your destiny and fruit. Put roots down, son. I'm going to grow you. Church, I know what it's like to walk through difficulty driving a car in Texas 8 years with no AC. I understand what it's like to have need. God said, no, you put roots down. Trust me in this, son. I drive a paid off Mercedes-Benz right now, paid off. And let me tell you something, somebody paid it off for me, my father. Right now, I'm about to launch another, I'm launching a business in Hawaii as a result of being planted and God multiplying me. Nobody gonna take credit for this, God's gonna take credit. He said, you simply trusted me and got with the couple. And you're gonna experience all of the highs. And I'm telling you this because the gospel is real. Church, stay planted. You're in a house of someone that is going somewhere. A couple that sees a great vision. A church of entrepreneurs. A church of bigger than you see. Sons and daughters, royalty. When he preaches it, he believes it because he's walking in it. And if you're glad for pastors like that, come on, just clap your hands. Pastor Kareem, come out here real quick. I took a little bit of liberty because I needed you to see personally what this has done for me and my family. We ain't the same family. My kids ain't the same kids. We definitely don't live in the same zip code. And it's a result of what the Lord has done. Make no mistake, I said the Lord. You ain't even gonna try to hear my story because it won't make sense to you. Because I couldn't even write a book because it's things God said to do. Pastor Kareem, I went a little too long. I apologize. It's a little bit long here.
It's the 11 o'clock.
It's the 11. So I apologize. Thank you for being patient. Pastor Kareem, could you pray for this very special offering for Pastor Ben and Kim? Like, everyone could write a note. And if you didn't come prepared all month long, you can give for Pastor Appreciation. Pray
for the offering. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris. You've done an amazing job of leading this staff in preparing to honor our pastors. We honor Pastor Ben and Kim and the beautiful family today. Can we just clap our hands and honor them one more time? It's been a joy, man. And we're gonna continue this process of giving financially throughout the month. So if you feel led, you and your family, let's continue to flow. But Father, we thank you for this privilege and this opportunity to honor. You said in your word that honor leads to a life of health. You said that honor supersedes temporal, natural. You said honor is something that blesses us eternally. So today we bless our pastors. You bless them so that they can be a blessing to us. Let them be fully convinced that they're at the right house. Let them be fully convinced that they're doing what you've called them to do. Let the fruit, the evidence of being committed to the gospel, let it be revealed, and let them be blessed by the results of the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless every business, every giver, every family today. I declare that you are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give today. Before we go, and as we are serving you, I want you to be reminded that we can continue to honor. Pastor Ben brought a friend. And did he not preach an amazing word today? Let's thank God for Pastor Travis. I didn't know he had that much preach in him. But let's continue to honor. His books are available. He'll be out in the lobby signing. Let's go out there, say hello. Let him know that he was a blessing and purchased the book. I think we can sell out the next few minutes. He didn't have that many left, so you better get out there. Also, let's continue to honor our pastors by taking advantage of the tools that they've given us here at Calvary. Number one is Gospel Circle, my favorite. It's an opportunity for us to get together. It's our midweek location. You get to hear the gospel, share, meet new friends. If you haven't been to one, you need to sign up, get online, and find a Gospel Circle to attend. It'll help you grow in grace. Here's another one, Grace Walk. Next Sunday, you've got an opportunity to be right here in person. It is a simple, clean process of membership. You want to know who we are, what we're about. If you're new or if you've been here a long time, this is the perfect opportunity to hear our pastor's heart. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for an amazing celebration today. We honor our pastors. We love them dearly in Jesus' name. Calvary, you're dismissed. I'll see you at a Gospel Circle, or I'll see you next week.
Welcome to Calvary. Whether this is your first time or first time in a long time, we want to say welcome home, and we encourage you to pull out your phone right now. There are so many great things happening here at Calvary. Make sure to stay in the know by downloading the Calvary app. There you can give, check out past messages, or connect to a gospel circle. Also, make sure that you follow us on social media at Calvary Church CC to get daily encouragement and be reminded of who you are in Christ. Lastly, follow our pastors on social media, Pastors Ben and Kim Daly. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you online.